Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Thursday afternoon, Monday morning podcast just before Thursday, and I am just checking in on you. Okay? Now, I know you're disappointed. You're like, well, Bill, you usually yell like a maniac. You usually act like a fucking idiot. Well, it's like 8:30 in the morning, and I'm in a hotel room, and you're just going to have to deal with that. All right? Now, don't act like a fucking baby about it. I swear to God, I'll make it up to you. I feel like I'm talking to a child right now. You know? And you guys didn't even say anything. You're probably, I'm all right with that every once in a while, Bill, if you don't check in on me crazily, you know, on a Thursday or whatever. I am in Columbus, Ohio. And all I can tell you about is Columbus, Ohio is when you want something to eat, when you go out of your fucking hotel room, don't go right, go left. At least wherever the fuck I'm staying. I went to the right and got one of the shittiest fucking lunches I've ever had. I ordered it was this little fucking bistro too. I'm sick of places calling themselves a bistro as if like, ooh, this is sort of a taste of Paris here. This is going to be like you're in Paris, but you're in Columbus, Ohio. It was some fucking bistro type thing, right? I order some one of them tomato mozzarella fucking salads. So the dude goes to me, he goes, hey, you want the balsamic vinaigrette on the side? And I said, I'd love that. Because I fucking hate balsamic vinaigrette on a tomato mozzarella fucking salad. I don't even know why it's in there. You just put some fucking olive oil on it, a little salt, right? On it, a little pepper maybe. That's it. Simple, clean, classic. Classic Italian cuisine. Couple, two, three ingredients and it tastes like heaven, right? Greatest fucking cooks on earth. What do these cunts do? They put the balsamic vinaigrette on the side. They put the tomato in the fucking mozzarella. They put it on this iceberg lettuce, which I can forgive you, whatever. God knows I need to eat a fucking salad out here, right? Being on the road for 2 weeks. And then for whatever fucking reason, they took this creamy fucking dressing and just poured it all over the cheese and the tomatoes. Why would you put fucking creamy dressing over creamy cheese? Why would you do that? You're supposed to add ingredients that complement the other thing, not fucking reinforce it. Like two parents yelling at you because you took the car out and wrapped it around a tree. Then I understand it. These aren't two parents, all right? This is some tomato and some fucking mozzarella. Completely fucked that up. And I also ordered a cup of chili, right? Because I'm an old white guy, and that's what we do. When we start approaching the age of 50, we start eating soup, you know? Because that's our only hope of continuing living, right? So I ordered this cup of chili with the broth was water. It was just like fucking water with a little bit of hamburger helper. And, oh, my God, the place drove me. Nice people there. Very nice people fucking working there. Jesus fucking Christ. One of these fucking places you walk in and there's like two registers. So I walk up to the first one and I say to the guy, I go, hey, can I order food from here? And he just nods. So I fucking start ordering food. And then the fucking manager guy comes over. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. The way it works is you got to go to this fucking register down here. He didn't say fucking. You got to go down to that register there and order your food. And then you come over here and pay. And I'm looking at the fucking guy behind the register looking like, dude, didn't I just ask you that? And he's just staring at me blankly. I'm like, all right. So I fucking go down there. Meet the person making the food. Fucking sweetheart of a guy. Hey, how's it doing? You know, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. I order the shit. Now I go to walk back down to fucking pay at the edge register. And some cunt just walks off the street and walks up to that register and orders a cup of coffee. Right? And they're servicing the guy. So now I'm behind him. It's like, how the fuck does this work? Oh, and this one, you just pay cash or you order coffee. So now this fucking guy who wasn't in front of me is now somehow in front of me. I don't understand it. I don't fucking understand it. And then I sit down and go to eat the shit. It was one of those deals where I had to take the knife and I'm scraping the fucking awful shit off of the shit that you want to eat. And I'm not going to lie to you. It put me in a mood. Oh, put me in a mood. I was going to be like, you know what? Fuck Columbus. Fuck this whole fucking state. Any fucking state that puts creamy dressing on nice fucking hunks of mozzarella. I'm fucking out of here. I don't need to ever come back, right? But the evening was saved by an unbelievable crowd, a beautiful fucking theater. And we ended up going to this bar late night, The Elevator. And great bartender, Pittsburgh guy. And he made us a couple of fucking drinks. We were just laughing our balls off, telling Hulk Hogan stories. And then we ended the night up watching the beginning of Goodfellas on the bus. And then, yeah, called it a fucking night. I know I'm being a whiny cunt, but why would you do that? Perfectly good fucking food. You know what I mean? Why would you do that? The fuck was I just going to talk about in there? I spaced on something. Tomato, the mozzarella, the fucking down to the elevator. And oh, you know what? Somebody from after the show came up to me, and he gave me. I want to thank the person once again. He got me this drum DVD that JoJo Mayer, you know, top secret stuff for the modern drummer. It's basically all that Moeller method stuff. It was really fucking nice of you. And when I was in Cincinnati, somebody interviewed me. A comedian, Muhammad, came. Got me some Pete Rose t-shirts. Now, I got you backstage passes, young buck comedian. You never came back. I hope you made it out to the show. I double-checked that they had your name at the door. I hope you fucking made it. Now I'm all fucking paranoid. They didn't let you in, and you hooked me up with some t-shirts, and you're like, that fucking Bill Burr's the biggest redheaded cunt I've ever met in my life. So anyways, yeah, we've been having a great time. We had a great time in Cincinnati. I'm trying to think where the fuck we've been since I last talked to you guys. See, it was Fort Wayne, Cincinnati. Then we did Dayton. Dirty Dayton. That's what they call their fucking town. The Dirty D or something like that. And I was going, why the fuck would you call yourselves that? This is why you don't get any tourism here. You know? I don't fucking know. Whatever. I've been having a great time. And that keeps getting fucking... I think I've actually been doing too much time. I've been doing like an hour and a half every last couple of nights. I got to tighten it up a little bit. But what do I got tonight? I got Pittsburgh. And then I got Cleveland. And that's the first leg. Then the first leg is fucking done. Just like that, the first week is over. But last night when I was on stage, my beloved Boston Bruins, my fucking hot dude, they played the Filthy Flyers in the fucking new Boston Garden, the TD Bank fucking... J.P. Morgan Center, whatever the fuck they call it. You know, those 40,000 cinder blocks that they went out and bought and built a big square building. Nothing interesting, architecturally speaking. They're only one of the original six teams. Why would you give them a fucking... You know, the Columbus Blue Jackets should have a better facility. The Minnesota Wild should have a better looking fucking rink than the Boston Bruins. That completely makes sense, right? You know, Jesus... I'm going to rewatch after this tour. I'm actually going to watch the game. I did watch the highlights, and as much as a fucking brutal heartbreaker that was that they lost in overtime, we did get a point. And as far as I was watching with the highlights, we look we look like a fucking decent team. And I was really nervous about that, so I'm happy with it. These guys are still fucking gelling. That game, I can tell you right now, was a game we would have lost a week ago. You know what I mean? Or maybe a week and a half ago when guys were still getting to know each other or whatever. The fact that we only just blew it in overtime, I feel, is a step forward, right? I was actually on the bus and I asked, I go, what's the score? Because the fucking satellite thing wasn't working. And Verzi looked it up, said it was, 4-2. And I was so fucking excited, but I also knew there was like 13 minutes left. And I was like, oh, Jesus. 4-2. We've been up 3-0 against these guys and couldn't fucking close it out. Goddamn Filthy Flyers came in. Congratulations to them, you know? They were supposed to suck this year, weren't they? Bruins and up. Maybe we were just two shitty teams passing in the night. I have no idea. I don't think we're shitty, though. Speaking of not shitty, how about those fucking Canadians? 7-0. Do you know what actually bothers me? As a Bruins fan, knowing how happy Canadian fans are. I don't hate the Canadians. I've realized that over the years. It was never about the Canadians. It was about the silly sock-wearing Frenchies up there. enjoying yet another Stanley Cup victory. And I got to tell you, I've completely enjoyed the 20-something year drought of your Stanley Cups. And even I, as a fucking Canadian hater, got to say, this is easily the most scared I've been in fucking over 20 years that you guys were going to fucking end the drought. God knows we're not going to be the ones to stop you. So I'm rooting for the fucking West to be a monster of a fucking somebody out there, you know, to be another. The Blackhawks got to do it again. Who knows? Speaking of which, my condolences to the Chicago Cubs fans and congratulations to the Mets. And, you know, I had half an eye on that fucking series. I've been traveling around, and Jesus Christ, I don't think there's ever been an easier MVP trophy to be given out than to give it to fucking Daniel Murphy. Jesus Christ. I didn't even realize. I knew he hit some fucking home runs. I didn't realize he hit six games in a fucking row. That's ridiculous. That's from a second baseman, man. Unfucking believable. So I really wish I had time to watch that series. I had no fucking idea. And I'm glad I didn't see the close. I guess it was in the new Shea Stadium. You know, because I'll tell you, them panning around the crowd when the Cubs were going down 3-0 or whatever the fuck it was, that reminded me a long time ago, you know, when the Red Sox were going through their shit. So that sucks for them. But they're a young team. They could get better next year. Poo-hoo. But, you know, really quickly, by the way, you know, what really fucking annoyed me was the amount of Cubs fans that fucking filed out of that stadium. Jesus fucking Christ. Half the fucking stadium left. And I've always maintained that for every fucking team, half the people there are actually true fans. The rest of them just show up. You know, like all those fucking cunty Met fans that have caught Met fever. You know, where were you a couple of years ago when they sucked for fucking 10 years? Where were you? You know what? You were at home with your girlfriend sitting there watching fucking Survivor or something like that. Like, dude, I'm not watching the Mets. I can't. I'm the biggest Mets fan. I can't. Fuck you. Where the fuck were you, right? I can say that about the Boston teams, too. All these fucking Patriot fans. Where the fuck were you when we used to play in that high school football stadium? Huh? With those aluminum benches and you stood up and you fucking lost your seat. Where were you? Where were you? You were at home having some fucking chowder. So anyways, you know what my dumbass is going to do? You know, like I couldn't be watching any more fucking sports as my life is whizzing by. I think I'm going to get the NBA package this year. I don't know why. I just think the Celtics are going to be fun to watch this year. And I, you know, I've never been a big basketball fan. You know, I can't get into it. It's like they score every fucking 3 seconds. Anytime anybody looks at anybody, it's a fucking foul. You know, it's kind of like soccer, except you can use your hands. Except there's also a ton of scoring. It's not that bad. I don't know. I think I like college hoops better, but whatever. Hey, by the way, as far as my workout regimen, I go to the gym every day. You know what? I also have been eating like a fucking, I've been eating like a fat girl on prom night. How come nobody took me? Why did I have to go after fat girls? Maybe I could say I was eating like a redheaded male on prom night. I don't know. Oh my God. I've been eating like a fucking animal. I've also been working out like an animal. So I've gone up one notch on the old belt there, but, that's kind of been my game plan because every night I say I'm not going to drink and I'm not going to act like a fucking idiot, but, I'm hanging out with my three best friends in the fucking world on this tour. You know, what are we going to do? And it's always every night right before the show, we always say the same thing. Dude, we're going to go easy tonight. You know, we're going to go easy. And, you know, fucking, you know, we got Pittsburgh tomorrow night. It's Columbus. You know, it's going to be a quiet town after the show. Let's just fucking go home. All right. And everybody goes, yeah, good idea. Good idea. Right. Then what happens? You know, somebody just gives somebody a look, you know. Last night it was Verzi. Verzi gave me a look just going like, so what are you thinking? You know, he was done with the set. I hadn't gone on yet. You know, what are you thinking? Maybe you're going back to the hotel and just calling it a night. And then I just start laughing, and he starts laughing. And the next thing you know, we stay out till fucking 3 in the morning. Like assholes. Fucking assholes. Who likes working out? Honestly. I'm sure you like it in your 20s, but at my age, it's not a fun thing to do. And I go and I work out. I do all this fucking sweating and fucking my old goddamn knees and all this shit. And then what do? I give it away. You know? Come back here and eat a sleeve of fucking Oreo cookies. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, like, what am I doing? Literally two of these fucking cookies, that's probably 40 minutes. How many calories are in a fucking Oreo cookie? Oh, my God, dude. Yesterday when I bought the Oreo cookies, right? I'm already hating myself, already fat shaming myself. It's like the middle of the day, too. I bought them in broad daylight where I felt like everybody was looking at me. Going, look at him eating his cookies, right? And I go walking by, and there was this Asian dude, right? I don't know where he was from, but he was definitely an immigrant because he had the hardcore fucking accent, right? Just one of these fucking guys made you smile. He had great fucking energy. And he just went like, oh, hello, how are you? You know, he's fucking cleaning up, vacuuming or some shit, right? Classic immigrant job. And I say, hey, how you doing, man? How's it going? He goes, oh, I'm doing good. And then he just goes and sees the cookies. He just goes, I hope I'm going to be able to do it. I smoked a cigar last night. He looks at the cookies and he just goes, Oreos. And I just start fucking laughing. I go, yeah, man, I got some Oreos. And he goes, oh, those are my favorites. And I'm laughing, going, I love him too. But it sounded like he was shitting on me the way he went, Oreos, like, you fucking bitch. You're bringing cookies back there? There's sugar tits. Dude, it made my fucking afternoon. He was such a fucking funny guy. And he wasn't being a bad guy. That's what I loved about him. He was more saying it like a big black girl, like, hey, right? Like, that's what I'm talking about. And what I loved was, it was just me and him in the lobby. And they had a big ceiling, and it, like, echoed when he did it. Oreos! Oh. And I went upstairs, and I sit down like a fucking loser. And I start eating this sleeve of cookies with his voice ringing in my head. And I was laughing, eating the cookies, and I swear to God, for 1 second, I almost started crying. There's no way, if you're any sort of a human being, to sit in a hotel room by yourself and eat a sleeve of Oreo cookies and not just feel a wave of depression wash over you. It's one of the saddest things you can ever do. If you've noticed, I can't even know, I don't even know if they even have, do they even have commercials for Oreos? Do they even need to? You know what I mean? It's like the Jordan of fucking cookies, as far as, other than the ones your mom makes or some, you know, some lonely cunt like me who makes, you know, homemade are going to be better. But it's just as far as like store-bought cookies, okay? Let's start a battle here, right? Let's start a debate. Come on. Are you guys honestly going to sit there and tell me you can fuck with Oreo cookies? It's the perfect fucking cookie. And you know what kills me is when you bite off one side and then you bite off another side, another one, and you stick them together to make your own double stuff one. Why does that one taste so much better than the actual double stuff one that's doing the work for you? You know what I mean? When you buy the double stuff ones, it's just like there's too much of the cream in it, you know, and they're just too sugary and you can't fucking eat them. But when you do the other ones, I don't know who the fuck is in charge of that over there at Oreo. Just dial back the frosting. You went a little too fucking hard. And it's not ringing goddamn true. Without a doubt, my favorite fucking cookie. And what is it? Doritos says you can't just have one. Fuck Doritos. By the way, everybody, you know what Doritos are? I'm 47 years old. Anybody under the age of like 40, Doritos are the shit. Original Doritos, you cannot fuck with them. They're considered the greatest chip of all time. I grew up on Fritos, Ruffles. Like, Pringles are still new to me. Like, when those things first came out and they stacked them up in that can, like, we were just like, dude, what? That was like when, for my generation, that was like when PlayStation first came out. To have potato chips that you could actually stack up. you know, to have like fucking 300 potato chips that were actually on the same page. You know what I mean? As opposed to the usual one, you open up a bag, they're all going in a different direction. You know, like some fucking team where the coach lost the locker room, right? Pringles are the fucking New England Patriots. They got a system, and everybody does their fucking job, and they get it done, right? And they're so goddamn good about it. The crying Colts got to fucking talk about air pressure. By the way, I watched this fucking thing yesterday, one of those 30 for 30s on old Pistol Pete Carroll at the when he coached for USC. Dude, I can't fucking believe I missed that whole era. I don't think I watched one fucking game. I was so busy traveling to all of these places I'm going to right now, which, by the way, is bringing back a ton of memories. I remember I went to an Ohio State game against, like, I can't remember who the fuck they played. They began with a B. It wasn't Boise State. It was just some fucking shithead team. Division III, way back in the day, those classic cupcake games. I went to it by myself. I fucking came here, and I went into their old basketball arena where the band plays before the game, and I went into the horseshoe, which isn't a horseshoe anymore. Nobody really has a horseshoe unless your fucking program stinks. They got to build, you know, they got to keep adding on to the stadium because people keep fucking, right? And there's too many goddamn people, and there's traffic 24/7. We got to have another extra seats to put these animals, right? And I went to the game by myself. I have a lot of memories of that. I'm going to go to Milwaukee. I've been to County Stadium and the Miller Park. I've been to both of those by myself. I still remember in Miller Park when somebody took my picture. I had them take my picture on one of those little fucking disposable cameras. And they did the thing where they took it from my neck up. And like the top of the picture is like the entire fucking stadium and the roof of it. It's one of the worst pictures of all time. I actually just laughed. I got a stack of those somewhere. Like those little fucking 5x8 printouts that you'd get when you took it to the drugstore to get them developed, of me standing in front of about 40 different stadiums that no longer exist. Let me see if I can go through some of them. Let's see. Okay, I've been to Olympia Stadium or whatever the fuck that was for an Expos game. That still exists, but the Expos don't. Miller Park, the King Dome. The Astrodome, Mile High Stadium, Sullivan Stadium, the Boston Garden. Jesus Christ. I even took a tour of fucking Maple Leaf Garden by myself. Went on this fucking tour. It's one of the cool tours I took. I am too fucking old to remember all these fucking places. Candlestick. The fuck else did I go? McNichols Arena. It's where the Nuggets played. I went there by myself doing a college gig. Watching the fucking Denver Nuggets. And they were terrible. It was one of those deals and they were barely in the fucking league. I saw an Avalanche game there too. Before they built the Pepsi Center. The old Dallas Cowboys Stadium. One of these days I got to make a list of all the fucking stadiums I've been to that no longer fucking exist. And not only did I go there, I went there by myself. But anyways, let's plow ahead here. So, So I've just been working out and eating like a fucking moron. And tonight I'm going to Pittsburgh and I got a ton of friends there. Randy Bauman, Bill Crawford from WDVE. You know, Randy, I always say he built me up in that market. He's the reason why I sell tickets there. So we always hang up. And then we always end up at that fucking, the evil yet delicious, whatever I always forget the name of it. The fucking sandwich where they put the French fries on it. All these fucking Pittsburgh guys are screaming about it. Paramis. I always forget the name of it. The fucking sandwich there where they put all this shit on it because, you know, I forget why. It had to do with fucking people building bridges. And they just needed to stick everything that they were going to eat for lunch in between bread. And they shoved it down their fucking throats and then they just ate it. We're going to end up there. And, of course, we're going to have some fucking drinks. And then we're going to end up in Cleveland the next night. And when we go to fucking Cleveland, by the way, the after party, I never have after parties. So you know this is going to be a special night. The after party is going to be at Hilarity's Comedy Club downstairs at the Martini Bar. So if you want to come down there, me, Bartnick, Verzi, and Lawhead are all going to be there. Stop by, come up, say hello. You know, just buy a couple of drinks in there because Nick Costas is another guy that fucking, you know, that guy used to headline me when I would fill up like a third of his club. And he built me up in that market. So, you know, I'm coming through town. And I always stop in and make sure I pay my respects to one of the legends in stand-up comedy. So please come down there. You know, stop by, say hello to us, and buy a couple of drinks. And, yeah, whatever. So I think after that, then we're in Indianapolis. That's another fun town to drink in. You know, at some point, I just have to admit that I like to drink, right? But I'm just going to keep working out. I'm trying to fucking, I'm losing the battle. You know what I mean? Like I've put on like, you know, a couple, two, three here, but you know, I'm still going to the gym. So rather than putting on fucking seven, putting on 2-3 pounds isn't bad. You put on seven, that's when you just start to give up on yourself. Don't give up on me, beep, beep. That's when you start giving up on yourself and then you're fucking in trouble. All right, can I talk Goodfellas here? The greatest guy fucking movie of all time. We watched it again and it's just, I was watching it last night and what I realized is it's just a bunch of scenes that to me, as far as like a stand-up comic goes, it's the equivalent of an unbelievable closing joke, like a chunk of material, but it's every fucking scene. Every scene is a fucking closer. It's the greatest fucking movie that's ever been made. It's a perfect fucking movie. And every time I watch it, I see something different. You know what was fucking great? It was in the beginning of the movie when it's raining out, right? And a young Henry Hill is holding the umbrella. And that guy who gets mad at him for wasting 8 aprons, he's got the cigar in his mouth. The run that he does, the way he runs over to Paulie's house, and then he runs back over the phone. His run and the unlit cigar in his mouth is just so fucking perfect. It kills me. It's a fucking masterpiece. So we watched it so many times. You know, I got a couple of questions because everything in there means something. You know, Scorsese, you know it means something. So I want to ask you guys a question. I came up with a theory. Do you know when they got Billy Batson in the trunk of the car, right? And they open it up and he's still alive and they fucking shoot him and stab him and all of that. You know, it's backlit and it's all red. And then again, when they go to dig him up, it's all fucking red. Like it's the whole sky. It isn't just the brake lights of the car. It's the whole fucking sky. And my theory was the reason why it was red was because that move was what got Tommy whacked. And that was sort of the beginning of the end of their crew. You know what I mean? That's like a theory I have. The theory I have about in the end when Henry Hill is fucking crying like a fucking bitch in the end. By the end of the movie, I hate the character because he went out and did exactly what fucking Paulie told him not to do. And then he gets caught and he fucking rats everybody else. And he's fucking get egg noodles and ketchup. Hey, dude, you should be in fucking jail. You cunt. The end, you know, when he's sitting there talking, when he just got done testifying, all of a sudden they cut to Tommy and he just brings the gun up and he just starts shooting. That's Tommy from beyond the grave. Because he ratted out Jimmy and Paulie. I think that's him coming back from the grave. Like, this is what I would have fucking done to you, Henry. I would have fucking whacked you. These are all just my theories. Joe DeRosa has a great theory where at some point Paulie is talking to Henry Hill and he's making those sausages. He said there's an expression, the pigs are in the fire, which means shit has already been set in motion as he's sitting there telling him not to fucking get involved with drugs. Like, that's the level like I'm trying to watch the movie at this point. So I got a question for you. Just basically, when it's backlit and red, why do you think it's backlit and red like that? And then also, why did they cut to that fucking old school clip of that guy singing. You know, he's whistling like a bird. You know that part? Goodbye, Tootsie, goodbye. You know, when they show that part. I was saying to Virgil last night, I go, why do you think he shows that clip? You know, it's like, you know, it means something. I'm trying to think of the era. I'm trying to think of the lyrics of the song. For the life of me, I don't have a fucking theory. You guys, does this sound like my conspiracy theories? Except I'm fucking talking about Goodfellas. I don't know. Anyways. Last night, I almost forgot. Last night when I was at the theater here in Columbus, they had all like these Broadway shows, you know, where they would put like the logo Annie, or they put like Cats or whatever the fuck. I don't know what the fuck they, you know, Mamma Mia, all of that stuff. And they, then the whole cast would sign. And I always look at all those things and I always think it's fucking cool. Looking at all that stuff and all the performers and the bands and all of that shit. And so I saw the Monkees were up on the wall, and I was a big Monkees fan. I loved the TV show when I was a kid. I thought it was funny as hell, and I liked the fucking songs. And I'm looking up there, and I see Davy Jones' signature from the 2001 tour. Davy Jones, rest his soul. Peter Tork, Mickey Dolenz. Then I'm looking, going, did Mike Nesmith ever come back? He never came back, did he? And then right as I was thinking, like, oh, wait a minute, way back in the day, like, I'm going back like 12, 13 years ago. I used to take drum lessons at this place called the Drummer Collective in New York City, which just has a bunch of monster fucking players down there. These just unbelievable, gifted kids go there. And then they have these sick ass fucking teachers there. And, you know, but then like a jerk off like me can just come in and start taking lessons. They don't care like whatever your talent level is, you know, they'll teach you, right? And right as I was looking at the Monkees thing, I was like, wait a minute. I used to take lessons from this guy, Sandy Gennaro, big time Yankee fan, lived in Staten Island. And I was, you know, obviously a Red Sox fan. And that was when the curse was still going on. And I remember I was taking lessons during 2003. And I remember when Pedro fucking grabbed Don Zimmer by his jack-o'-lantern head and fucking threw him down on the ground. And I used to do a bit about that defending Pedro Martinez, going, what were his options? To turn around and run, then he's running around from an old man, you know, to hold his ground and punch him. He can't do that because he's an old man. Or three, grab him by his big Macy Day head and sort of guide him down to the ground. And it actually would get a laugh in New York, but last night Joe Bartnick finally convinced me it was the wrong thing to do. Because he looked at me and he just goes, Bill, he goes, it was Don Zimmer. He's an old man. He goes, an old man comes around you. You just put your arms out and you hug him. You know, and you just go, Donnie, you're baseball. I can't do this to you. And I just put my head down and I just went, you're right. And then Verzi told the story that I guess, I don't know, at some point, I think after he retired or whatever, there's a baseball story out there that Pedro sat down and had lunch with George Steinbrenner, the late great George Steinbrenner, right? And to break the ice, because that was still hanging in the air, he sits down with them and he just sort of looks, Pedro looks down, he just goes, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And I guess Steinbrenner just started laughing and then it was fucking over. How fucking cool is that? I don't even care if it didn't happen. I just think it's a great fucking story. So so I used to take drum lessons from Sandy Gennaro. And like, he was a monster fucking player. And he had an unbelievable bass drum foot. And he was the first guy that showed me that slide step thing. Because I was going through probably my 50th obsession with John Bonham. And he was the guy who finally showed me how to do that. And he was doing the good times, bad times lick and all that stuff. He was just a monster player. And one of the things he did, he used to get Peter Criss from Kiss ready to go out on tour. You know, he'd just take him through the paces and all that, get him up to speed so he could go out and go kill it with the band Kiss. And then another thing he did was he played He played drums with the Monkees when they would go on the road. And I hadn't thought about taking lessons with him in such a long fucking time. So I'm sitting there in Columbus and I'm looking at the Monkees thing and I see Peter Tork, Davy Jones, and Mickey Dolenz. And I was thinking, and it, right as I thought, wait a minute, I used to take drum lessons from a guy, Sandy Gennaro, who used to play with these guys. And I know he was on tour with these guys during the time. And right then I looked and I saw his fucking signature. It was cool as shit. I took a picture of it. And he also played with Cyndi Lauper. Like he did, like, that's the cool thing about Drummer Collective. Like they had fucking major, major drummers. There was another guy down there and you could just walk in like a fucking bum like me and you could just take fucking lessons from him. They had another guy down there. The fuck is his name? I'm going blank on it. He used to play with Herbie Hancock. Let me look this up. Herbie Hancock, the guy who played on Loft Funk. Herbie Hancock, you cunt. There we go. Come on, Bill. Learn how to spell. A funk drummer. Something simple. Mike something or other. Mike Clark. I couldn't believe it when I went down there. I just saw the guy go walking by, and I was like, is that fucking Mike Clark? They go, yeah. I go, what is he doing here? He goes, oh, he's one of the teachers. So you can take a fucking lesson with that guy? Sitting and listen to his shit, trying to figure out how to fucking do it. You could actually walk down and take a lesson. And I know some of you younger guys, this is no big fucking deal because you got YouTube and you can just watch the guy and break it down and slow it down or have some guy. But back in the day, you couldn't do that. And I was just like, this is why it's great to live in fucking New York City. These fucking guys are actually out here. Anyway, so I'll end on this thing here. And I'm going to have to punch in the advertising because I haven't gotten it yet. I'll have to put it in later on when I'm on the bus. But anyways, I discovered a fucking drummer. I don't know how, where I was. Guy Chris Coleman. Any drummers out there familiar with this guy? He's one of these gospel drummers. This guy's fucking unbelievable. I just stumbled upon I watch a bunch of drum videos. So on YouTube, they always have them on the fucking sides. And, it just popped up and I was like, who's this guy? I'll check out this guy's playing. Just a fucking unbelievable solo. So, I'm going to put I'll post a clip of the picture I took, at the theater here in Columbus, with the Monkees and, Sandy Gennaro's signature. He drew a little drum, man. It was fucking cool as shit. And also, the video clip of Chris Coleman. By the way, before I get out of here, must win fucking game. Obviously for Kansas City. Kansas City has to win this game six or I don't know, man. I think Toronto might come back in if they go back to their home, you know. It's turned into a great series. Remember I was bitching about that when they were down fucking 0-2? Telling them, you know, I want to see a seven-game fucking series. And look at that. Here they come. They come storming back. You got to give it up to Toronto. Even if they don't fucking win this next one, man, that team's got major fucking heart. I can't believe I'm missing all these fucking games. I mean, I'm out here having a great fucking time, but this is the time of year I like to be home to actually fucking watch a bunch of baseball. So I don't know. I don't fucking know. Whatever. I got to get running here. You know what I got to do? I got to go fucking work off at least maybe three of these goddamn cookies. Do you know how many fucking cookies there were in here? Let me see how many servings they say this is. You know, because they always, let's see here. Amount of servings. Calories, 160. Calories from fat, 60. Serving is three cookies. Serving per container is about 4.5. So I had enough Oreo cookies for 4.5 fucking people. You fucking freckled cunt. 160 calories. Amount per serving is 160. There's no way three cookies are 160. That's got to be 160 per cookie. All right, Bill, do the math. That's 300 plus 180. That's 480 calories times three. There's over 12 cookies. Oh, you fucking jerk off. So I got to multiply that 380 times four. That's 1,200 and 320. That's over 1,500 fucking calories. You ever fucking just sweat your balls off on the elliptical for an hour? You're lucky if you make 600 fucking calories. Oh, dude, I gotta go downstairs. I gotta hit the gym before I get on the bus. All right, that's the Thursday afternoon podcast. I know it was kind of all over the place. I'm gonna try to get some of the guys on the podcast for Monday. That is it. Thank you to everybody that's been coming out to the shows. And once again, thank you again for the people who brought out the drum videos and the t-shirts and all that shit. You guys don't have to do that stuff. All right? You don't have to do that. I got a ton of fucking shit already that I got to get rid of. And, you know, the last thing I need is more cool. I'm never going to be able to throw out those Pete Rose t-shirts. They're too fucking cool. Right? And then I have to throw something out. Well, my old Quebec Nordiques t-shirt, I'm not fucking throwing that out. It's starting to spill into my wife's side of the closet. I'm like a broad with shoes, except it's t-shirts over there. All right, that's the podcast, like I said, for this Thursday. You guys have a great weekend and enjoy the throwback half hour, the second half here, the Thursday afternoon, Monday morning podcast just before Friday where I just check in on you. All right, now it's time for the reads. And no, I haven't gone to the gym yet. And yes, it is a few hours into the future. And I am on my iPhone over there. All right, Blue Apron, everybody. It's okay. It's okay. You can admit it. The last thing anyone wants to do after work is wait in line at the grocery store, schlep home, and cook a complicated goddamn meal. And expensive, unhealthy takeout is hardly better. Hey, I should know. I'm living it right now. That's where the new service Blue Apron comes in. Did I mention I went to White Castle a few nights ago? Oh, I'm telling you, I have a rough one. Blue Apron delivers farm-fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your home, allowing you to create healthy, handcrafted meals at home without going to the grocery store. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron sends you fresh ingredients perfectly proportioned, making cooking healthy meals really easy and fun. No trips to the grocery store. No waste from unused ingredients. Plus, you learn how to cook with specialty ingredients, Jesus Christ, that are normally hard to find. Blue Apron is perfect for date night, cooking with friends, and they even offer family plans with kid-friendly ingredients so the whole family can eat well and have fun preparing meals together. Oh boy, let's make a sandwich. Each balanced meal is 500 to 700 calories per serving, and so tasty that you'd never know it. Cooking takes half an hour, shipping is flexible and free, and the menus are always new. They won't send the same meal twice. I love how they add that it's so tasty you'd never know, because you know a bunch of fat fucks who are like, 500, 700 calories doesn't taste good, unless it's three Oreos. Maybe that was me thinking that. Anyways, they work around your schedule and dietary preferences. And Blue Apron experts source only the best seasonal ingredients for incredible meals like Parmesan-crusted chicken with roasted heirloom potatoes. Jesus Christ, that sounds delicious. And tomato arugula salad and tandoori spiced chicken with green lentils, eggplant, and cucumber mint yogurt. You'll cook incredible meals and be blown away by the quality and freshness. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. Check out this week's menu and get your first two meals for free by going to blueapron.com/burr. My treat, really, the first two meals are on me. Well, it's really on them, but they're being nice about it, saying that it's on me. When you go to blueapron.com/burr. All right. Oh, Jesus, I got to sing with my cigar voice here. Boop, 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 me undies, me undies. No more sweaty taint. Boo-doo-doo-doo. MeUndies. MeUndies. Your balls are dry. Don't say they ain't. When you got that nice fucking material up against your nuts, your fucking life will never get in the ruts. Oh, get some MeUndies. They got them for the ladies. They keep their clams dry, too. Unless you fuck them, they're really a nice pair of undies. Oh, yeah. Why don't you go get some? Yeah. MeUndies. We all know how sexy confidence can be. And that confidence comes from being comfortable. But how can you feel great if your underwear is wrinkling and riding up? MeUndies gets it. And that's why they've created the world's most comfortable underwear for a daily dose of confidence. When you look good, you feel great. It's a cliche. You know why? Because it's true. MeUndies understands this, and that's why they've designed underwear that makes you look and feel fantastic. Please include the I'm going to do it. MeUndies is made from Modal. Model? Modal? A fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. That's twice as soft as whatever underwear you're wearing right now. MeUndies has tons of colors and styles, and they only
place, the only place to get matching pairs for men and women. That's kind of weird. Talk about stuck in a fucking relationship. Your underwear's got to match your panties. Oh, Jesus. They even release a new design every month. I wear whatever free ones they give me, and they feel great. My balls have never been happier. Plus, we all know that paying for shipping sucks, man. So MeUndies has removed that from the equation. All orders in the U.S. and Canada ship for free. MeUndies even has a money-back guarantee. If you don't love your first pair, you can get it. You can keep it for free. You literally have nothing to lose. To sweeten the deal, MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first order at MeUndies.com/burr. I thought they were going to sprinkle a little salt in the crotch area. You know, to sweeten the deals, have a little sugar. I got one against your ball pig. This is a special offer for just my listeners. Make sure you go to MeUndies.com/burr to get 20% off your first order so that they know that we sent you. All right, that's it. Now go listen to the old school stuff if you want to. If not, I appreciate you listening anyway.
Oh, by the way, I want to thank the 43,000 people who sent me that story about how the world's largest sperm bank has been turning away the jizz of redheads. Okay? World's biggest sperm bank tells redheads, we don't need your semen. You know how fucking degrading that is? Just showing up to jerk off into a Dixie cup and they turn you away like, nah, that's all right. That's like telling a stripper to put her clothes back on. It's fucking horrific. You know, but for some reason, like, people think that that affects my life. It doesn't. All right. They turn away a lot of fucking people. Okay. If you got different shit in your family, they turn you away. And not to mention, I got to tell you, as a guy, that story has no effect on you. Okay. As far as your jizz, I guess, yeah. I can't sell my jizz to a sperm bank. I mean, what sort of financial fucking crisis am I going to be in where I'm going down to a Dwayne Reed stealing lube and then limping into a sperm bank to fucking shoot something into a goddamn graduated cylinder? You know, really, I can't fucking do that. You think I give a fuck? Let me tell you something. This is what I've learned. This is what I learned in life. Okay. If you're making money, the lady want your fucking jizz. I don't give a fuck what you look like. You could be a one-eyed, bald midget troll. They want it in them. All right? Trust me. So any redhead who took that in a bad fucking way, just go out and make something of yourself. I'm telling you. You'll get a fucking 10, and you'll dump a fucking nice unwanted spooge right in her. That was disgusting, yet pro-redhead. How do you like that, everybody? Pro-fucking redhead. I just love how many people sent me that story. Like, I swear to God, I said 40,000, but it had to at least be 100. And that's one of the things that I love about the internet, and I hate it at the same time, because the internet, I swear to God, allows adults to act the same way you acted when you were in like kindergarten or first grade on the playground, where you were just completely uninhibited and you were mean. Remember that shit? You just walk up to somebody and be like, I don't like your face, right? You could just be that. And then when you get older, you still think that. You're sitting there in the boardroom going, look at this guy with his fucking face, his stupid fucking tie, right? You think childish shit, but because you're older and mature, you don't say it, you know? Because, you know, you got debt and you don't want to get fired. Oh, he's doing a great job. And they told the boss he didn't like his face. That'd be hilarious. Why did you get fired from your last job? You know, and you have to tell him some childish shit like that. Well, the great thing is about the internet is it allows you to tap back into that part of you, you know? And then debunk the fucking myth that when you become an adult, you still don't think those thoughts that you did when you were in first grade because you're now you're older and mature. You still think them. You just programmed not to fucking say them. So, I don't know. At first, I was like, what the fuck? And then by the time the 11th person sent it to me, and then actually this story broke like 2 weeks ago. And like 2 weeks in, as people are still sending me this story, that's what made me find the internet fucking hilarious. The fact that somebody's going to listen to this podcast and then send it to me on Twitter after it, that's like that. That's literally that. I don't like your face, na-na-na-na-na shit. That's just, it's fucking childish and 99.9. It's just fucking hilarious. Can anybody explain? I think that's why, or maybe it's because guys are childish. Why I think guys are so funny is because we have the fucking maturity level. I don't give a fuck what we're doing in our lives, how much responsibility we have, how much money we're making, how good a husband or a father or anything like that we are. We're still immature as hell. Unless you're just a fucking boring douche anyways. The fuck do I know, huh? What do I know? The world doesn't want my sperm. Why would you listen to me? Oh, this just in. The world says, fuck you, Bill. Fuck you and your red nuts. We don't want them. Oh, my God. How much of an egomaniac am I that doesn't even bug me, that I actually find it funny? The world just said no to me, and I still feel good about myself. What kind of a man has an ego to that level? I'll tell you, the kind of man who has the balls to do a podcast by himself, who actually thinks he's fucking interesting for an hour. Oh, gee, yeah. You know what? I think I was a little too mean on the fatties. I did what everybody does. I judge fatties the way the world judged my sperm. You know, see, people, this is why. This is why my podcast is so mean. This is why I don't give a shit about other people's feelings. This is why I say, cry me a fucking river. I don't give a f- The world just said no to my jizz. The fucking world. There's people out there, okay? They're shitting on the side of the road after they fucking, you know, skip out of a bamboo hut, okay? I come up with my jizz. Eh, I'm all set. I'm going to wait for something better. There's people in fucking Colombia, Venezuela. Who are those people that, what's his face, helped out? Escobar. They were living at the dump. They were living in a junkyard. He went out and built them a small city. Those people also said no to my jizz. This just in, the world says no. So I just don't have any sympathy. Yet I do. I understand people don't want to be fat fucks. You know, the same way you understand that you'd like the world to welcome your jizz as opposed to saying no to it.
The world outside is oh so cold. Late at night when you're alone. You think about me now that I'm gone.
Paper route. Yes, I did. I still rode a bicycle. Just let me paint a picture for you, okay? Big reddish orange afro riding a beach rambler with white wall tires. This big Pee Wee Herman bike with white wall tires. Fucking insanely giant tires. Like if you went fast enough and slammed on the brakes, it sounded like a car. It went. Aah! People thought it was the shit. No, they didn't. Nobody liked me, right? So anyways, I had paper route money, people. I had been doing the paper. I from third grade to freshman year in high school, I got up every fucking morning because there's no day off with papers. Have you noticed that? Even on Christmas, when you wake up, right, you walk by your children and that woman that you married and you got your robe on, you know, tied nice and tight so your fucking Hogan doesn't spill out. It's a holiday. Put your junk away, Dad. What the fuck? Right? And you walk to the front door. There's the paper. Well, how you think it got there? Well, nowadays, it's probably thrown there from a car, out a car window by a 40-year-old. All right? But when I was young, all right, it was still delivered by children. Yeah, it was great. Back then, they had paper boys. Then the broads had to come along. Well, what about paper girls? Why can't we do that awful job? You know? Typical fucking broads. Oh, this is early. Am I already going to say that? Oof, 6 minutes in. Let me tell you something about these fucking ladies. You know, funny thing about feminism is sometimes you got to really look, you got to really examine what you're asking for. It's kind of like gay people pushing for the right to get married. It's like, do they have any fucking idea what they're signing up for? You know? They're so wrapped up in being treated the exact same way as heterosexuals, which they should be, right? I'm not giving you a rough time there, Twinkle Toes. You should be. Okay? But there are some advantages of being gay. One of them is you don't have to get married. You can have a life partner. Right? And at no point in the relationship can the dude sit there. Right? He's got his head on your shoulder playing with your chest hair. You know, and you can just feel the sadness of his head. And then you go, what's the matter, Scott? You know. I don't know why Scott struck me as funny. What's the matter, Scott? You don't seem like your normal self. And he can be like, where is this relationship going? And then you're in that. And then you got to get married and you got to put all your shit on the line, right? Well, let me ask you this, gay guys. What if Scott is a fucking bum? Huh? What if he sucks at math? What if he's not an earner? You ever think about that? During your parades? Have you ever thought about that? What if he's a fucking loser? Loser, huh? Then what? And then 3 years later, you're under a lot of stress because you got to fucking support his ass too. You don't have time to go to the gym and keep your abs all in shape, right? And all of a sudden, you get a little doughy. A little doughy, right? He's a guy. He totally judges people by how they look in a tight shirt, right? He fucking walks out on you. Walks out on you, takes half your shit, and now you got to pay alimony for a goddamn man. Did you ever think about that? Well, you should. All right, don't fucking do what? Why? You know? Oh, that would be great. Do you guys have common law marriage? Or do they not even recognize that because you're both either women or both guys? I mean, the fucking advantages of that. It's incredible. You know, it's almost worth the rejection, wouldn't you say? Oh, whatever. Go fuck yourselves up. Bill, my younger brother and I have been having this debate about whether he took his girlfriend's virginity. Oh, I thought this was going to be about a guy who's still a virgin. All right, this might get ugly. All right, my brother and I have been having this debate about whether he took his girlfriend's virginity. Basically, my brother, who is now 20, has been dating the same chick since they met in Catholic high school. He says his girlfriend is saving herself for marriage like a good Catholic. My brother, on the other hand, lost his virginity before they met. So get this. Get a load of this. This guy's writing it like it's the 20. Here's the kicker, see? Instead of typical fucking, this chick lets my brother fuck her in the ass. Let's read that again. So get this. Get a load of this. Instead of typical fucking, this chick lets my brother fuck her in the ass. And furthermore, she has convinced him that she is still a virgin. Hmm. I tell my brother, first, consider yourself lucky because most women will never let you do that. And second, this chick is not only a fucking whore, but is fucking royally stupid. According to her Catholic standards, if you only have anal sex, then you're still a virgin. This is complete horseshit. It's sad to me because I know this isn't an isolated incident, but rather a growing phenomenon. What websites are you going to, sir? It appears that more and more so-called Catholic school goody-two-shoe bitches have been brainwashed to think that they are holy in the eyes of the Lord by maintaining their virginity, even though they spread their butt cheeks and show that, all right, all right,
yeah,
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
We get it.
Please,
God.
Bill, for the love of all that is holy, help me to convince not only my brother, but all these so-called children of God that even if you don't fuck a girl in their vagina, that a girl loses her virginity.
Virginia, there when, is.
When she gets banged in the age.
This is the problem with lack of sexual education in this country, particularly when it comes to, like, Catholic school and religion.
All right, before you get on your soapbox, do you feel...
I thought that's why I was
do
in
you
here,
feel,
to get on my soapbox.
I just knocked you off. Do you feel that this woman is still a virgin?
No.
She's not a virgin?
No.
Even though when you go to put it in her...
Her hymen isn't broken, but
her
she's
hymen is in place. It's basically
but no,
the seal hasn't been broken on the bottle, yeah. But you screwed in the bottom and all the liquid is poured out.
Yeah. But this is the problem, though, because it's like you're supposed to be this virtuous woman. So, yeah, it does create this weird complex in you.
And then you do one of the most skankiest sex acts you could possibly do.
Why is that skanky?
It's all sex. Look.
The thing
listen.
Is, no, you
listen.
Listen.
No.
You listen. Oh. Because different, a sex act is a sex act. They shouldn't be demonized one way or another. And I take umbrage with this guy calling this girl a whore just because she's having anal sex. Okay? Are you a whore because you bang girls? Shut the fuck up.
That's not true.
I don't like that
that's
judgment.
Wrong. That's the wrong way to look at it.
No,
he's
that's
not
how
a whore.
I work at
he's
it.
Not a whore.
Well, he's calling her a whore just because she's having anal sex.
She
how
is a whore.
Why?
Because she took it in the age.
So? So do a lot of people. That doesn't make them whores. It's a sex act.
Yeah, but it's a dirty, filthy one.
Well, that's your issue, and people need to let that go.
But as far as him, though,
regardless.
It doesn't matter what he does. He's never going to be a whore. He's a guy.
Right, right.
Listen, I'll explain it to you this way.
If you take that patronizing tone with me, you don't
Well, you already used the word umbrage.
Yeah, huh? Because I'm smart. Don't get
all right, you're
all
right.
Insecure.
You're right. I don't know what umbrage. I take umbrage. I take umbrage with the fact that you used umbrage and didn't warn me that you were going to do that. Didn't you see the look in my eyes? What the fuck is that? Was this Meet the Press?
No.
Listen to me.
I've heard a lot of girls are doing that these days. They're having anal sex thinking that it's not regular sex. But it's all sex, people. So if you're taking it in the ass or you're taking it in the veg.
No. Okay, let's look at it like a drug way, okay? In a drug sense.
Okay.
All right? Making out, that's like you had a beer. Getting felt up, you smoked a joint. Mm-hmm. Going to third, going to second. What base am I on right now? Third. Going to third is like you just did some blow and getting fucked. No, wait.
You're all over the place.
I went all over the place. I lost my train of thought there.
Analogy.
Okay, if it was like drugs. Okay, yeah. First base is drinking. Second base is weed. Third base is coke.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe shrooms. It's shrooms. Home is coke. And then getting banged in the ass is heroin with some meth. That's like you're not coming back. All right? So she skipped. That's what she did. She went from just sort of drinking and smoking some weed and went straight to meth. It's beyond, NeNe. It's beyond. You ran past home plate. You went into
cares?
The dugout. You kept going past the showers, and you ran right out of the fucking
Why
stadium.
Why is he worried about his brother and the girl that he's fucking? Why don't you worry about getting your own piece of tail?
He actually agrees with you. He agrees with you that there's a misinformation out here.
Yeah, but he's directing it towards the girls that are doing it, not to the people who come up with these rules to begin with. That's
right, which is what I wanted to explain.
That's where his anger should be.
Which is what I wanted to explain to you. I'm standing up. I'm walking around. If he really is, I'm about ready to drop some knowledge. All right, here you go. This is the deal. This is
he's not interested in knowledge. He's interested in judgment and shaming people. That's what he's interested in.
Oh, Jesus, they just never stop. This is why. This is why if a guy does it, he's not a whore. If a woman does it, she is. Okay? This is, first of all, why it's not a big deal if a guy engages in that act. It's basically, it's because we enter. You know, you allow somebody to enter your body. That's like so much more than like what the fuck we do. That's why sex is not a big deal to us. I've told you this analogy before that basically, like this is the deal. If somebody said, hey, I'll give you $1,000 to go over to that. Say there's a birthday cake. Give you $1,000 to go over there and just stick your finger in it.
Uh-huh.
You do it in a second, right?
Yes.
If somebody said, I'll give you $1,000 to take that cake and shove it up your ass. All right. You'd have some questions. Where has that cake been? What do I get out of it? You negotiate for more fucking money. So that's the same thing. That's just what we do. Sticking our fingers in cakes. That's how much sex means to us.
I think that's bullshit.
That's it. Well, I don't expect you to understand it.
I'm not saying that I don't understand. This isn't about my comprehension.
That's why you guys. That's
it's
why
about
you
how
guys.
I don't believe
that's
that.
Why you guys think way more about who you're going to have sex with because you're letting somebody enter your fucking body.
No,
me,
I think
I'm just walking around. I'm poking people.
No, it's conditioning. It's not like reality. It's conditioning. It's you grow up with this idea that you're supposed to not feel a certain way. And
if you use the word society, I swear to God. We are just brainwashed from day one that what we do
is
wrong.
It's conditioning. There are many guys who have had emotional moments when having sex with somebody. They just don't want to talk about
name
it or admit
one.
It. You.
I've had an emotional moment?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like that? Oh, God.
Why are you making it sound like I cried or something during? I never did that.
No, you never did that. But,
so what? Why did you just say that? You're just making shit up. You went from, I'm sure there's guys out there. There's no research behind that. And then you just threw that out there.
Would you like me to talk about my research or would that make you uncomfortable?
Oh, this is World Series of Poker. You just went all in. Now I got to figure out if you're bluffing or not. Am I going to call your hand? Oh, you're staring right at me. Ah, you fucking pain in the ass. I'm folding. Why do you always do this to me on the podcast?
Do what?
This is the second time.
Call you on your bullshit? I thought that's what I was here
if
for.
If you ever do that again, saying that, nodding with your eyebrows, calling you on your bullshit. The fucking ego of females. You guys are just always patting yourselves on the back.
As are you.
Let me tell you something right now. Nia, if you were a fucking dude right now, I'd kick you in the chest and watch you fall right off the bed. But I can't do it. Because that's what you deserve right now. But I can't do it because you're a lady.
When I'm on the road, I often dream and think of you, girl.
I got an overrated for you. Overrated. Picking up a fucking magazine that lists 10 great places to go to breakfast and then believing that no one else read the magazine and there's not going to be a line 3 miles long the next fucking morning when you show up to get your pancakes. That's exactly what happened. We pull up and I see this fucking, looks like a goddamn bread line during the Depression. And I'm with Nia and her mom and I immediately just go, hey, you guys want to go somewhere else? And then somebody in the car goes, well, there's probably going to be a line everywhere, right? So we fucking stand in line for 40 minutes. Got to the point I'm crouching down like my back is killing, my lower back. Like I'm so old I can't stand for longer than like 20 minutes without my lower back killing me. So I'm standing there 40 minutes in. I'm crouching down like, you ever see Asians when they have a conversation in China, how they just fucking, they can crouch down like that and or people in India. You know how they crouch down like that? They've been doing it their whole lives, so their hamstrings are all stretched out. I was squatting down like that, my big head turning all red. I'm trying to stand in a little bit of the shade. And I don't know. Finally, I was like, let's get the fuck out of here, right? So everybody agreed. We leave, and we end up going. I mean, we stood in line for breakfast so long, it was now time to get lunch. So we end up going down. We were on Santa Monica, and we go down into West Hollywood. And there's a place down there, Hamburger Harry's. They have great fucking, they got great burgers. And it's one of, but it's also one of the gayest places you'll ever go to in your life. I didn't realize how gay it was. And I went there and the waiter was like really gay or whatever, but I didn't really think about it, right? So I drop off the ladies and I go over and I park the car. I get out of the car and I come walking in and I'm starving. And as I'm walking in, all of a sudden this guy pushes me in the back. Like gave me a nice little shove. And I turn around and he goes, "Do you need a table?" This fucking gay dude pushed me in the back. He pushed me. Like fucked and like not hard enough to make me stumble, but hard enough to fuck up the gait of my walk. And I immediately, you know, felt the feelings you feel when somebody fucking pushes you. When I turn around, like, what the fuck? And the guy's just down there. "Do you need a table?" And I went, "No, I'm meeting them over there." And then he kind of had a weird look on his face and he walked away. And I sit down and he's like, "Hey, how's it going?" I'm like, "What do you mean, how's it going?" I go, "That fucking gay guy just pushed me." So I tell her the story and I'm all, I go, what the fuck? Is it some gay thing? You just fucking go around pushing people? And then Nia goes, "He was probably hitting on you." Right? So now my ego kicks in. I'm like, fuck, I still am in shape. So for any of my fucking twinkle-toed listeners out there, is that how you guys hit on each other? Was that just like, "Hey, silly, do you want a table?" Is that what he was doing? It was fucking annoying, whatever it was. Then I felt embarrassed. Then I felt bad, like that look on his face when I went, "No, I'm sitting over here." Like then he thought that I don't know what. That I was saying, "Get out of here, you queer." You know, because that's a whole big fucking thing now. You got to be nice to those guys. You know what the fuck I'm saying. So anyways, so we sit down. All right. And immediately a dude comes over. "Hi, can I take your order?" We fucking order and we're getting our food immediately. The way you should when you go out to eat. So now, despite the fact that the waiter pushed me like that dude who pushed Zdeno Chara after he scored the goal. That's basically how he pushed me. And then I turned around and looked at him like I was going to run him into the boards, basically, right? So they fucking bring the food over. It's delicious. Everything's going great. And then all of a sudden, this fucking dude gets on the mic and you can't see him. He's like, "Okay, everybody, show starting in 10 minutes, right? And I'd say, "Nia, go, what's going on?" She goes, "Evidently, they're going to have a show." So it's fucking broad daylight out. I guess they're going to come out and drag and they're going to do a show. Like this is how gay this place is, that they're going to have a brunch / transvestite lip sync fucking show. And I got to tell you, it was absolutely fucking hilarious. We were sitting there and the guy on the mic, it's like 11:30 in the morning and he said "cunt" on the mic. He goes, "Come on, bitches, drink up. We're having a show. Don't be a bunch of something." He goes, "Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm just feeling a little cunty." I'm sitting there with Nia's mom. And this guy starts saying "cunt" like every other fucking word in broad daylight. And as a comedian, I had to respect the guy. All right? I've never said "cunt" on stage when the sun's out. I'm not going to lie to you. I barely say it on stage. I say it a ton of times here. Because it's ridiculous, but I really don't say it that much on a comedy club stage. And this dude / half a lady is saying "cunt" every other word at brunch. And so they come down, like three of them. The host sucked, right? He had this giant head with this huge fucking, I don't know what, blonde wig on. And he was like doing jokes that should have been funny but weren't. At some point, he said something about a bloody pussy. And we're sitting here eating brunch. and he makes a bloody pussy joke. So just as a comedian, this should have been hilarious, but timing was awful. He'd say the setup, and then he'd mumble the punchline. And he was annoying me. The next one came out, was all right. The dude looked like Nancy Grace, so that was cracking me up. And then the next one looked like a soccer mom. If she was in Battlestar Galactica, you know when they have those, they get that Woodstock Ellen DeGeneres haircut. Kind of had that, but spiked up. And that was hilarious. And then the last one freaked me out. There's always one that's going to freak you out because it's going to almost look like a fucking chick. So it had like ass implants and it's like I'm trying to eat. And I got to get out of here. So I go up, I walk out of the restaurant because, you know, it's one of those deals. It's like when in Rome, you went into their place, so you got to tolerate. Then it becomes, there's that point where you're just like, all right, this is too fucking creepy. I got to get out of here, you know? So I walk out, and I'm standing on the corner out in front of this place that turned into the gayest place I've ever been in. And I got to tell you, I walk down the street all the time in L.A. Nobody ever tells me that they saw me. Nobody's ever seen me, nothing. I come walking out of this place, right? And this behind me is this the transvestite that almost looks like a chick with ass implants and is dancing to Salt and Pepper, Push It. I swear to God. So I'm standing out in front of that place, and it's that part of the song that's going, Push It. Dun-dun-dun-dun. And this guy pulls up from the Comedy Store, stopping at the red light. He's like, hey, Bill, how you doing? And I'm just like, hey, how's it going? Dun, 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 in the fucking background. And my face literally turned red with embarrassment. But fortunately, the guy owned a restaurant across the way, so then he ended up coming out, how fucking funny is that? He comes over to me, and he goes, to shoot the shit, because I've been telling him I was going to go to his restaurant, and that just then, fortunately, Nia and her mom walked out, and I've never been so relieved to be like, this is my girlfriend, and this is, this is her mom. I didn't know that there was going to be a fucking, it was like a mid-80s, I don't know what, a mid-80s sitcom, you know, where there's a situation.